are to Gubin. Hello, friend, and greetings in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs again with the Bread of Life broadcast, and we've been discussing why was Jesus born in a stable and laid in a manger, and how that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, and how many wonderful truths in the Old Testament are hard to understand until we have the New Testament and we see the truth that's made clear in the New Testament. Jesus said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth liberates. The truth opens our eyes and our understanding so that we can walk in victory and so that we can live the Christian life the way God intended for it to be lived, to His glory, His honor, and His praise, not in our strength, not in our ability, not through our trying to keep rules and regulations, but our learning the freedom that is available in the Lord Jesus and through the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, and how that He is able to take our life and to work through it to bring forth fruit to His glory, His honor, and His praise. Oh yes, beloved, Jesus Christ, living in us through the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Well, the book of Romans is where we're studying, and we're talking about how to live the Christian life victoriously, how to know the truth which liberates and sets us free. You remember, we were talking about how that Christ was revealed at the beginning of His public ministry as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And what more fitting place for a lamb to be born than in a stable and laid in a manger where animals were kept? And that's where God's Lamb came into the world, because He came to die. He came to die for you. He came to die for me. He came to take our sin upon Himself, as 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that God made Jesus to be sin for us. Jesus, who knew no sin, He was sinless, and so He could take and pay the penalty for my sin and for your sin, and that's what He did. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. By believing in Him, the Holy Spirit moves into our spirit, doing the work of salvation to make us pure and clean and holy and righteous within our spirit. Now, in our flesh is indwelling sin, and this is where the battle's going to come in our soul. The soul has to do with the mind, the emotions, and the will, and that's where we struggle in our Christian walk. We struggle because there's sin in our flesh that tempts and draws us back to the old paths of sin and the old bondage that we once lived under. But there's the indwelling Holy Spirit who indwells our spirit and would say, no, don't yield, don't go that way. And so in the energy of our own fleshly ways, we try to live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh with indwelling sin, and we trip up and we stumble and we do all kinds of foolish blunders, and we say, I just can't do it. No, that's right. And it takes sometimes a long time for a believer to wake up to the fact they can't live the Christian life in their own strength and in their own ability, because we cannot. Only can we live the Christian life through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And that's why God sent His Spirit to indwell our spirit. He came to be God's guarantee of our salvation, yes, but He came also to empower and enable us to walk in truth, in righteousness, in holiness, and in Christ-likeness. Now, we're here in Romans chapter 7, and Paul's explaining to us in Romans chapter 7 that we cannot live the Christian life in our own strength and in our own ability because there's sin that indwells this fleshly body. And as long as we try to live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh, we're going to fall into sin because there's the law of sin that is at work in this fleshly body. Notice Romans chapter 7 again and verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Oh, yes, beloved. When you set out to do good, you're going to find out that evil is present with you, and you're going to have a struggle in it. You remember when Moses, God called Moses to go back to the land of Egypt and to deliver the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 5, verse 19 through 23, let me read it to you. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, Ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. Now when Moses had gone back and told the children of Israel that he had come to deliver them and that God was going to liberate them, they were all excited and were all thrilled about it. And when Moses went to Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, No, I'm not going to let you go. You've got too much time on your hands. That's why you're talking about going and offering sacrifices to your God. No, he said, I'm not going to let you do that. And so Pharaoh said, Since you've got so much time on your hands, I'm going to stop giving you straw to make brick with. You're going to have to go out and gather the straw, and you're going to have to make as many brick today as you did yesterday, only we're not going to give you any more straw to do it with. You're going to have to go get it. In other words, he increased all the workload and the demands that were placed upon them. And you see, beloved, often this is what the enemy does. When we struggle and try to do good, sin interferes. It raises its ugly head to stop us. And so notice, and the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case. That is, things were going against them. After it was said, Ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh, and they said to them, The Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. They said, You didn't come to set us free. You came to make things worse than they already are. You came to make us miserable and to make us wretched. And that's what Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 7. If you'll notice in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who's going to liberate me? Who's going to set me free? He said, Oh, I'm wretched. I'm wretched. Because when you try to live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh, you are wretched, beloved. It is a struggle. It is miserable. And you fall into sin, and you ask the Lord's forgiveness, and then you fall back into sin again, and you ask the Lord's forgiveness again. And it's a vicious cycle. And you're miserable, and you're wretched. But, beloved, it's because you're trying to live the Christian life the wrong way. You can't do it in your own strength, because when I purpose to do good, evil's going to raise its ugly head, just as it did here with the children of Israel. Verse 22, And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? Why did you send me here, Lord? I've set out to do good, to deliver the children of Israel. You told me to come, and now Pharaoh's making it worse on them, and the bondage is only increasing. And I've set out to do good, and here things are worse off than they were. And for since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Oh, yes, beloved, when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's what Romans chapter 7, verse 21 says. I find then a law. This is a law, beloved, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. In my inner life, I love God's word. I love God's law. I desire to do that which is right and pleasing to the Lord in my spirit. That's the inward man, the spiritual part of man. Remember, man is a triune, spirit, soul, and body. It's in our spirit we get our identity. When you didn't know the Lord Jesus as Savior, you were in spiritual darkness. You were dead in trespasses and in sin. You were separated from God. You were a sinner. But when you accepted Christ as Savior, the Spirit of God moved into your spirit. He took up His abode within. He made you pure and clean and holy and righteous. He justified you in the sight of God, so that in our spirits we're pure and clean and we're holy and we're righteous. But in our flesh is indwelling sin. That's why when we fall into sin, the old devil whispers and said, "You're not righteous." That's why sometimes when I'm speaking to an audience of people and I'll ask them, how many of you are righteous? Raise your hand. Not hardly anybody, if anyone at all, will raise their hand, because they know what they did. They know the sins that they're committing. They know the way that they're living in the snare of sin and in the old ways. And they don't say, I can't raise my hand. I'm not righteous. Because they're identifying with the flesh rather than with their true identity, which is in our spirit. That's where our true identity is, in our spirit, not in our flesh. And so, beloved, the Holy Spirit has justified us. We're justified in our spirit. We are righteous in our spirit. We are pure and clean and holy within our spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit can indwell our spirit, as 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God's Spirit indwells our spirit, you see. And so that's where we're righteous. The Holy Spirit. He couldn't live in us if we were unrighteous in our spirit. But we're righteous. Till next time, goodbye.